One final acupuncture session. Any particular problem spots where you need the needle?
Everywhere.
Okay, this is going to be a serious session. Break out the 1001 needles. We'll put them everywhere. Not only all over the body, but throughout the body. I found this these notes from this article by Carl Bielefeld on living with Dogen. Happens to be the same page with a picture of Tongan Arata Roshi Sama. Is here. And his, I think it's a little cookie wrapper from Tongan Roshi, from a local. Obama is the name of the town where Bukokuji is, Obama. And I think it's like a local sweets, mochi sweet company, and where there were their practitioners and students of his, and so they asked him to do the, little calligraphy for the wrapper, the mochi wrapper. And it says subette yosh, which was one of his favorite phrases. Subette yosh means like it's all good, everything's okay.
that means.
Well, the Enso circle, but I think on the side here is a subete yosh. What does the circle mean? It's a picture of the mirror. The round, bright mirror.
The rice cake.
Oh. And it's a wrapper for a rice cake. Yeah, that's maybe part of what's going on there. Just a painting of a rice cake. Carl says, Dogen begins, so to speak, by defining our very existence as Buddhahood. Not only our existence as humans, but existence itself is somehow, by its very nature, imbued with the spiritual perfections of the Buddha. For Dogen, this Dharma body is not so much a cosmic thing that contains or projects the world, as it is the fundamental activity of the world itself. In effect, the ground of our existence is simply the way the world is really happening. It's built into our very being and the being of things around us, whether we recognize and appreciate it or not. Pretty straightforward. Carl's, after all this convoluted writing and these difficult technical footnotes, I think these kind of teachings are what draw us to practice, don't you think? Hence, because it's built into our very being and the things around us, hence there's nothing special we can or need to do beyond what we're doing already by existing. this nothing special to do is always a starting point of Zen. The starting point to which Zen keeps calling us back by reminding us just to sit, just to lie down when we're tired and eat when we're hungry, just to go on existing without, as they say, putting a head on top of our head and running around looking for enlightenment. This is Carl Bielefeld's thoughts on Dogen. The trouble, of course, with this identification of Buddhahood with existence itself is that, taken by itself, it seems to undermine all rationale for a Buddhist as opposed to any other sort of life. Doesn't it? We might even substitute, because we've been talking about, is Buddhism different from these other spiritual traditions? We might even expand that to say it undermines all rationale for a kind of spiritual life as opposed to any other life. The trouble, of course, with this identification of Buddhahood with existence itself. The trouble with that is that, taken by itself, it seems to undermine all rationale for any kind of spiritual practice, because everything's already it. Dogen wants us rather to take our Buddhahood seriously and make it our business by actively engaging in it, by recognizing what it means to be a Buddha and committing ourselves to being one. Kind of, even though in a sense we already are, take it seriously and be what we really are. He wants us to become what he calls a practicing Buddha, a Gyobutsu, engaged in the practice of Buddhahood. The key to such practice lies not in what we do, but in how we do it. Since Buddhahood is going on all around us all the time, our first job as Buddhas is to give ourselves over to the time and place in which we find ourselves and attend to what we're actually doing there. Whatever we're doing there, if done with wholehearted conscious commitment, is the practice of a Buddha. Universal practice instructions. It doesn't matter so much what we're doing, but how we're doing it. To do whatever we're doing wholehearted with conscious commitment. That's the practice of a Buddha. Dogen's own practice of Buddhahood was not just a matter of enthusiasm for and attention to whatever he did, although maybe it was that too. But he's saying, well, maybe it was more specific for Dogen. It was also, well, maybe that wholehearted engagement with whatever he did, but it was also a highly specific activity modeled on the practice of the Buddha Shakyamuni. At the center of this model was the image of the Buddha seated in the posture of his perfect enlightenment under the Bodhi tree. Adopting the posture of the Buddha's enlightenment is itself the practice of Buddhahood. In many passages, it seems that the transmission of this posture and its proper understanding is at the very heart of the Zen tradition of the ancestors, the treasury of the true Dharma eye. So it's like everything is, the activity of the whole universe is Buddha manifesting all the time, and so to wholeheartedly engage with the activity of the universe is a practicing Buddha. I mean, whatever we're doing, and then Dogen particularly says, let's also specifically practice that activity of a Buddha in, well, at least what we think the Buddha did is he sat in upright posture, very still and silent. So we'll just, like, that image of the Buddha We just wholeheartedly engage that. The expression non-thinking is usually interpreted as the psychological state in which, during meditation, we bring the mind into perfect accord with the enlightenment of the universal Buddhahood going on all around us. I know what he means by usually interpreted, but that's not a bad story. Non-thinking, many people might say, is bringing the mind into perfect accord with the enlightenment of the universal Buddhahood going on all around us. A little bit like self receiving its function, samadhi. We're just according with the functioning of the universe in the most harmonious way possible. So Carl says, that's how many people interpret non-thinking. He says, yet, given that Dogen himself tended to think of enlightenment less as the object or content of the mind than as a fundamental mode of activity embracing both body and mind, it is perhaps not surprising that he should be interested in meditation as a physical activity, the act of embodying the Buddha's practice of sitting. Insofar as he's interested in the act itself, what we usually translate as non-thinking might as well be rendered, quote, it's not a matter of thinking, it's just sitting. This physical form in which we enact the Zen tradition through the iconic representation of its central image. You know, we take like the Buddha on the Buddha icon, the classic Buddha image, often sitting like that, right? And we just enact that. But I thought interesting that he says, non-thinking we could interpret as, it's not a matter of thinking. It's just sitting. Non-thinking means like, don't worry so much about what you're thinking. It's almost like he's saying it like that. It's not about thinking or not thinking. It's about sitting. This is just, you know, Carl's take, but he spent a lot of time with Dogen's meditation manuals. To practice the posture of the seated Buddha was only the central symbolic act of a larger commitment to study what Dogen calls the great way of the Buddhas and ancestors, handed down by tradition. One must give oneself to the lineage of ancestors and transmit the way of the ancestors to future generations. For Dogen, this meant that one must take up the whole lifestyle of the ancestors. It's the commitment to this lifestyle, and this is, you know, all of Dogen's kind of like standards for the Zen community, right? All the way to particulars of doing the parinirvana ceremony like it's been done for countless centuries through China and carrying that through Japan to America. It's the commitment to this lifestyle of the ancestors that forms the model for his ethical teachings. He calls on us not just to sit, but to sit with others in the context of a shared acceptance of the standards of the community and a shared obligation for its work. So thus we, it seems like part of Zen practice, and I think it really has been transmitted to America in this way, is that what's offered is this very group-oriented practice. Yeah? I mean, sitting at home is also a really wonderful practice. You could say same zazen, but isn't it interesting that it tends to be like a communal, we sit together. not all Buddhist traditions do this. And I think that some that do are often picking up on the Zen thing. Like Tibetan Buddhism, they do a lot of ritual practices together, but the actual silent meditation is kind of a private thing you go home to do. And Theravada, traditionally too, is like you have your kuti in the forest and you practice alone. Now there are places like the Western versions of Ajahn Chah's lineage where they sit in meditation together, and Shambhala community that's silent meditation together. And I don't know if it's true, but I think it may be partly influenced by Zen, that they're like, this is really sweet and wonderful to like have group meditation. Yeah.
What was Ryokan?
Yeah. So he was a Soto Zen practitioner, but he was one of those solitary ones, yeah. So we do have that too. And in fact, all through Zen, there's always been hermits, for example, and people practicing in a more kind of hidden way. And I think that's wonderful too. But I think also part of Dogen's unique thing is sitting together. I think some of each is nice. Yes. Tibetan Buddhism, often eyes open too, but
Because Vipassana and Theravada.
Yeah, more eyes closed. Yeah.
I haven't been to a formal temple, and the forest monks do have. I don't know if that was under the influence of more modern times, but they did have a monastery.
Mm-hmm.
But those early guys like Jack Hornfield went to.
Yeah.
So they did live together.
Mm-hmm. Well, like that place, like that's Ajahn Chah, yeah. Or Jack Kornfield. And, I spent some time there. And, Wat Phanamichat is the kind of, the Western version next to Wat Pabong. And, they do come together. They come together for meals and chanting. But when it came, and they actually did. They did some, maybe one period of Zazen together, but a very small part of the day, and the rest of the day you were expected to, there wasn't anything else to do but sit. But it was a individual thing. Sit and walk.
Yeah.
Sit and walk alone in your kuti. So it's hard to know in the days of Buddha. I think there's always been both. As I say, I think both ways are good. If we're always relying on just, we have to sit with the community, we can't sit alone. Some people get used to that way too, and then we're stuck. Then we leave the community and we give up practice. I've seen that happen. So I think both ways are good. So Dogen returned from China with a Zen version of this vision of practice in which the model for the expression of Buddhahood on the temporal plane was now supplied not by the powers of the Dharmakaya Buddha Vairochana. He was talking about in the Japan of Dogen's time, these Shingon and Tendai schools were very popular, basing their practice on this. We were talking about the Dharmakaya with no posture, right? And based more on Dharmakaya Vairochana. And so Dogen returned with the model of Shakyamuni Buddha, the Nirmanakaya, who takes a certain posture and is a person in the world, in a certain sense. And taking up the forms of the tradition for Dogen became like a the whole expression of Buddhahood. So it's partly this enacting. So I was thinking about this a little bit as we were practicing this ceremony earlier, and thinking, well, it's just, you know, it's just this little group of people. There's something slightly absurd about doing this like highly elaborate traditional Zen ceremony with this little group of us. And I thought, but it's kind of in the spirit of the seated Buddha enacting Buddhahood. It's like, it's just and we're talking about like a play, like we're actors in a play. It's like, it's obviously really a play when we get into that kind of thing. But let's do it really wholeheartedly. Let's perform the play. And with the spirit of devotion, let's enact the ritual. And for Dogen, he was really into that too, but his main ritual was just sitting meditation, enacting that one.
I would imagine you've seen Sankaijubu.
Sankaijubu. Oh, I don't know.
No. Hmm. Interesting.
The kind of dance?
It's called Budo dance.
Oh. Yeah, maybe we have...
All in white, and it's a reaction to the Hiroshima.
Oh,
If you have, then there would be a little bit of a dialogue about this play wasn't similar.
Maybe not that particular one, but you know, also no play, and there's a comic form. We have this Japanese cultural fair in the park every summer, and they do some. It's not no theater, but it's maybe they have another name for this. It's a particular form. There's always like a particular form, right? So it's like a semi-comic form. It's all silent too, but they enact anyway. Yeah. They enact various emotions and...
But it's anything but ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's anything not ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Quite beautiful.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I always think, you know, I kind of get hung up on the form from time to time, how much energy and kind of group... belief or whatever goes into like the games, like sports.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean,
Super Bowl.
It's ritual.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, it's people playing with balls. it's become this high art.
Yeah, yeah. And people take it very seriously.
Really seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and then there's people just kind of watching. Then there's like a super serious, you know, we're like fanatics.
Yeah.
And nobody thinks twice about that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, in a way, very similar, right? And is that more exciting and interesting than this Parinirvana ceremony? It must be to a lot of people.
I don't understand why.
I personally don't understand why.
And it's totally passive, too. They're not even doing it.
Yeah, just observing.
They do stuff, you know?
That's part of the thing in the ceremony, yeah. It's we're all doing it together, and it brings us together, too. It's like... We dance together.
We dance together.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so Sheen really has that feeling too, huh? Over and over. Yes.
I think people like competition. There's no competition here.
Yeah. We're not trying to win the ceremony.
It's very, very... It's the utter epitome of duality. Our team, our city, versus their team, their city.
Mm.
And we're the two best, and one of us is going to win, and then one of us will be the best, and hopefully it'll be our team. And yay, our team. The world champions, even though it's only the United States.
Yeah.
It is a little, yeah, it does have that feeling, and people love that, it's true. Yes.
However, I think Zen can be competitive too.
Mm.
Especially if you're in positions.
Mm.
You know, in politics. You have thoughts about how you do your position, how other people do their positions, or your same position.
That's true.
Prior position, kind of thing. You know what I mean? I mean, there certainly is opportunity, even in our
yeah.
quiet seemingly non-competitive, because I think we bring our humanity.
Yeah, because we love that stuff as people. Yeah. Yeah. We don't maybe like try to ritually enact the competitiveness. Maybe we
notice it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As Alex is saying, it's the purpose, isn't it?
Yeah, right. They probably notice it at the Super Bowl, but that's the purpose, yeah.
In a dualistic way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The weird thing is in the most sincere efforts by human beings to live communally and to cooperate,
mm-hmm.
they do this. They get into political
struggle. Yeah.
Even with the best intentions, mm-hmm. you know. I mean,
yeah.
That's hard too.
Yeah. But maybe we could even say, from a practice perspective, maybe that's part of the idea of setting it up, just so we get to face that stuff. It's like in the Transmission of Light record, Kazon gets into this whole kind of rant himself too about and I think he's talking to maybe specific people in his audience who maybe want to leave the monastery there. He's talking to the people in the monastery and saying, don't go off and practice alone. He's like, I know there were people who did that in the past, great sages and Zen hermits in China, but it was after they realized the way, and they were just refining the details before they appeared in the world. And he's saying, until that point, we should really just stay with the community, because he doesn't say it maybe outright, but I think the implication is because it's harder, we have to face all our stuff.
That's where it comes up.
Yeah, that's where it comes up. It's too easy to go live as a starving hermit in the mountains. That's simple. But like hanging out with a bunch of schmucks, that's the challenge. Yeah. So we keep trying. So we finished the comments in this acupuncture needle on Hongzhi's poem. Such then is Chan Master Hongzhi's lancet of seated meditation. Among the old worthies throughout all the generations, there's never been another lancet of seated meditation like this one. It sure hasn't. If the stinking skin bags throughout all quarters were to attempt to express a lancet of Zazen like this one, they could not do so, though they exhaust the efforts of a lifetime or two. This is the only lancet in any quarter. There's no other to be found. When he ascended the hall to lecture, my former master often said, Hongzhi is an old Buddha. He never said this about any other person. When one has the eye to know a person, he will know as well the voice of the Buddhas and ancestors. In truth, we know that there are Buddhas and ancestors in the tradition of Dongshan, because Hongzhi is in Dongshan lineage. Now some 80 years and more since the days of Chan Master Hongzhi, reading his Zazen Xin, I compose my own. The date is the 18th day of the third month in the cyclical year Mitsu no e Tora, the third year of Ninji, 1242. It's like, right now, this is what time it is. If we calculate back from this year to the 8th day of the 10th month of the 27th year, the Southern Sung era of Shaoxin, 1157, when Hongzhi died, there are just 85 years. It's kind of making this connection between this particular posture of Hongzhi and this particular posture of Dogen at these particular times, and there's 85 years between them. The lancet of seated meditation I now compose is as follows. Zazen Xin, the acupuncture needle of sitting Zen. Dogen says, essential function of all Buddhas, functioning essence of all ancestors. It is present without thinking. It's completed without interacting. Present without thinking, its presence is inherently intimate. Completed without interacting, its completion is inherently verified. Its presence inherently intimate, it is ever without any stain or defilement. Its completion inherently verified, it's ever without upright or inclined. Intimacy ever without stain or defilement, its intimacy drops off without discarding. Verification ever without upright or inclined, its verification makes effort without figuring. The water is clear right through the earth. A fish goes along like a fish. The sky is vast, straight into the heavens. A bird flies just like a bird. This is one of my favorite poems and short pieces of Dogen. I think he really says a lot there. very dynamic. Yeah, it's this show of shusho. Practice and verification are not two. So sometimes we translate it as realization or confirmation. So he uses, part of what's nice about it is Dogen uses all his favorite Zen expressions. He weaves them into this poem. Yes?
So Dogen's constantly saying, we should thoroughly investigate, thoroughly examine this. Mm-hmm. Are those words, investigate, examine, study, are those all different translations of the word show?
That show that we're talking about?
Yeah.
No, it's a little different. This show is like practice and verification are not to practice and confirmation of truth. Verifying or confirming is more like the practice itself is verifies the truth of Buddha or verifies Buddha, whereas it's not something so much that we do, it's more like the practice naturally verifies, whereas those other terms
is it all one word that he uses for those different terms?
Well, he uses there's a few. So like sankyu is a common one. Sankyu is like thoroughly investigate, and then concentrated effort is often kufu or kung fu. Sometimes bendo kufu, like concentrated effort at wholehearted endeavor of the way. So there's several terms he uses, yeah. But verification, not so much that strong, effortful, trying to really grapple with. Verification, the way he uses, is more like naturally, like our sitting zazen really dropping off body and mind, kind of confirms Buddha's mind naturally. So not so much something that you try to confirm. It's like the practice is naturally verifying Buddhahood.
Is that the same thing as practice enlightenment?
Yeah, it's what often gets translated as practice-enlightenment, which I think misses the nuance of verification. Realization, I think, is okay because it's kind of realizing or actualizing Buddhahood. But verifying, I think, is really nice. Verifying or confirming practice and verification are not two. Means sitting down in the particular posture, letting go, is actually verifies, confirms Buddhahood without even knowing that.
It's like this truth that we've heard so much about or read so much about, and now we're going to put it to the test or see if it's verified.
Yeah, it's kind of like
confirmed.
Yeah, kind of putting it to the test. It verifies it naturally. Practice naturally and inconceivably verifies Buddha. So some other translations here, and if people are into this kind of thing, I'm happy to give you a copy later. This is something I compiled a while ago with 7 different translations of this poem. There's more than the ones we've even been looking at, because some people just translate the poem, because the poem's in the extensive record on its own.
Do you also have the kanji?
Yeah, and the kanji's in here. And then translations by Carl Bielefeld, Thomas Cleary, Stephen Hine, Nishijima and Cross, Nishiyama, Shohaku Okamura, and Kaz.
We've been watching. I'm just extra paranoid right now. Whenever I see anybody walking, I go out and check it. And Patrick is joining this practice.
Okay.
I'm joining with paranoia.
Yes. it's community paranoia. Yeah. Just try to be extra careful.
So the essential function of all Buddhas, the functioning essence of all ancestors, the pivotal essence of every Buddha, the essential pivot of every ancestor, or the hub of Buddha's activity, turning of the ancestor's hub. Okamura's translation is the be-all of the Buddhas and the end-all of the ancestors.
Really?
The be-all and end-all.
Huh.
That's pretty radical.
Yeah.
Especially for a non-native English speaker. That's a leap. So it's present without thinking. This is the fushiryo that was earlier in the essay. Think of what of not thinking. It's that it's present, not thinking. It's completed, not interacting. And that present and completed are gen and jo, which is a favorite term of Dogen, Genjo, Genjo Koan. So they both mean kind of like manifest, actualize. So he splits up the Genjo because he likes that phrase. He puts not thinking in there. And this interacting is again that in the Sandokai, they interact and do not interact. So he's probably, since it's the same character, maybe even referencing. So this mind of Zazen, right? It's present without thinking. It's completed without interacting. It doesn't meet. It's a little bit like all the senses interact and do not interact. Or another translation, it moves along with your non-thinking and is completed in the realm of non-merging. The next line is, present without thinking, its presence is inherently intimate. Or, manifesting without thought, that manifestation is inherently intimate. Or, its appearance is immediate or intimate. Completed without interacting, its completion is inherently verified. Appearing as equanimity appears as self-enlightenment. Completeness itself is realization. Its presence inherently intimate, it's ever without stain or defilement. And maybe referring to the story, one of Dogen's favorite stories. It's not that there's no practice and verification, it's just that they can't be stained or defiled. It's the same characters there. So, referring to practice and realization cannot actually be defiled by our ideas of it, for example. And its completion inherently verified, it's ever without upright or inclined. These are the two characters that are used in Dungshan's 5 ranks or 5 positions. So it's pretty direct reference to that because it's unusual pair. They mean upright or inclined, and they're the characters that Dungshan used to mean like ultimate and relative. So some people translate as appearing as self-enlightenment is beyond absolute and relative. Or When completeness is realization, you stay in neither the general nor the particular. So we're going to study the five ranks later this year. And Dogen's saying the mind of Zazen is free of these two sides. Intimacy without stain or defilement, the intimacy drops off without discarding. So that's Datsu Raku, Dogen's, another Dogen favorite character, is in body and mind drop off. The intimacy drops off without discarding or without rejecting. Or if you have immediacy without defilement, immediacy is dropping away with no obstacles. Or being emancipated without relying on anything. Verification ever without upright or inclined. The verification makes effort without figuring. So this is the kufu, the gong fu effort. But without figuring is referring to the story of are you figuring? I'm figuring to make a Buddha. That was earlier in this essay. He's already brought up kind of like 10 different references to his favorite stories. Or if you have immediacy without defilement, immediacy. Cause translation. Realization, neither general nor particular, is effort without desire. That's a nice way to talk about Zazen. Effort without desire. And the last two lines are pretty straightforward. Clear water all the way to the bottom. A fish swims like a fish. Vast sky transparent throughout. A bird flies like a bird. Dogen says, it's not that the Lancet of Seated Meditation by Chan Master Hongzhi has not yet set it right, but it can also be said like this. Above all, descendants of the Buddhas and ancestors should study Zazen as the one great matter, the one great concern, the Ichidaiji. This is the orthodox seal of the single transmission. Thank you, friends, for making such concerted effort for 5 days to investigate thoroughly the acupuncture needle of Zazen. One might never study Zazen, Dogen Zazen, in such a intensively concerted way for a long time. So how wonderful. That's how I feel. How totally wonderful that we got this chance. With lots of Zazen. To boot. I'll just finish, since it's that time, with a poem. A bird flies just like a bird. Far, far away. This is a poem you may know by Mary Oliver. Wild Geese. Do you know this? Wild Geese. Where have they gone now? Well, be careful with our noses. Wild geese. You don't have to be good. You don't have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. tell me about despair, yours, and I'll tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. Bird flies like a bird, a fish swims like a fish, a person lives like a person. We dedicate any merit arising from this concentrated effort and thorough investigation of the acupuncture needle of Zazen, this whole Genzo A Sesshin, to our great original teacher Shakyamuni Buddha on his Parinirvana day, to Eihei Dogen Daiyosho, to all the commentators who grappled and struggled with this Zazen Shin and helped us along, Shogaku Shunryu, Suzuki Roshi, Dainin Katagiri Roshi, Shohaku Okamura Roshi, Tenshin Anderson Roshi, Sojin Weitzman Roshi. May the teaching of the acupuncture needle go on and on. May all beings realize non-thinking throughout their daily activities. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.